Well, good Saturday morning, everybody. You coffeeed up? Is everybody doing well today? How are you all doing? This is CA, your on-air personality on the iHeartRadio network. Welcome to the Morning Brew Christian podcast show on iHeartRadio. What a day, what a week, as it comes to a close, as we get prepared for Sunday tomorrow. Hope everybody's doing well the eve before Valentine's Day. So you don't want to forget, like I said the other day, and I probably said the last couple of days, you don't want to forget your husband, your wife, your significant other, your boyfriend, girlfriend, fiance, whatever it may be. Valentine's Day is all about love. Stand by. And don't forget to listen to Yours Truly on iHeartRadio. Actually, I do other stuff for iHeart as well, but I can't always tell y'all what station I'm on because I'm on multiple stations from time to time. But I really enjoy doing the Morning Brew Christian podcast show with you guys. And we have got, friends, a great, great show lined up today. And you're like, CA, how great is it? Well, I'm going to tell you here just a little bit about it. But before I do, I want to remind you guys, you can always email me if you have any questions, comments, suggestions. Our email address up here at Faith Studio 1, and that's 24 hours a day in Fort Worth, Texas, is morningsbrew@gmail.com. Again, morningsbrew@gmail.com. Also, we have a Facebook page. Tell your friends about us. The more the merrier. We're always gaining listeners, and that is the Morning Brew Christian Podcast. Check the like button, and we would love to have you. Also, I do live shows from time to time. Coffee talks on there a lot. And I post a lot of encouraging things. A lot to be thankful for, a lot to be praying for. We got many prayer requests. So let's just kick it off right now. What do you say? A little bit of Dr. Funk. Yesterday, I had so much going on that I didn't get a chance to play the coffee song. So here in just a bit, after I finish sharing some thoughts with you guys, I'm not going to do a Bible devotion right now. What I'm going to do is I'm going to just share some thoughts. And then we're going to play the coffee song, okay? I've got a Mark Lowry today. Yes, a Mark Lowry. He's stepping in today on a Christian comedy. And I am going to be Bible teaching. I've had people ask me, will I revisit this? This is when I first started back in the day of doing radio. Why did God harden Pharaoh's heart in the book of Exodus? In other words, why did God harden Pharaoh's heart in the book of Exodus? We're going to revisit that. I've had some people ask me, CA, will you revisit that? Sure, absolutely. No problem at all. So, how's everybody doing? You getting ready for the snow, especially in north central Texas? 5 to 8 inches of snow. You don't get a chance to go to your church, watch it online, or watch your favorite evangelists that are online, or, you know, your teachers, that Bible teachers. Great time to relax, sleep in, take it easy, drink coffee. Nothing better than drinking coffee, tea. Some people drink hot tea, milk, making you a big breakfast, maybe picking up some donuts before the major snow event happens. Oh, yeah. All right, what do you say? Let's get those jumping jacks rolling. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 4, 3, 2, 1. Let's roll. Okay, and normally I would do a Bible devotion today, but this has really been heavy on my heart. And I just want to talk to you guys just for a little bit and just kind of share my thoughts. And that is, you know, how short life is, and we don't really realize it. I think sometimes we kind of do, but we can't quite comprehend it. That's how come it's so important when you have loved ones, when you have your family, your sons, your daughters, or you may not have kids, or you may be swinging single, and you may be down and depressed. I know I brought this up before. COVID times have been tough. People being enclosed in. People arguing, people fighting, that's going to happen. Best suggest I can tell you is whenever you do get into any kind of an argument, is to step outside and cool off, or get in your car and go get you something to drink. Maybe go to Starbucks, go to Jack in the Box. They're all getting where they have this iced coffee, just whatever it takes. just to step away and take 5. I do believe sometimes we need 5 or 10 minutes to ourselves. And, you know, you definitely want to have some God time because you want to have time to talk to your Heavenly Father. I mean, it's very important. He loves you. You love Him. I hope you do. Most of you should, if not all that hopefully listen to our network out here. But God is, it's important to have God in your relationship, your marriage. If you're dating, it's important to have God in that as well. In your kids' life, if you have children, it's important to have that in your family. It's just very important. Please tell your kids about Jesus. It's never too late. If you got a mom or dad that don't know Jesus Christ, tell them about Him. After what happened in Fort Worth, about 10 minutes from the podcast studio, well, I say podcast, iHeartRadio studio, we do both. Yes, a lot of people drive like maniacs. There are some people that may have lead foots, but this should be a wake-up call for all of us how precious life is. As the news, you know, was reporting in, there were 6 killed total, and I won't mention any names or anything. Someone had sent me the video, by the way, on that, and I was just, my heart was just breaking watching it. And I'm not going to go into any graphic details or anything about that, but I watched it as the guy just sat there and took all these, the filming on his cell phone, because, you know, technology, things have changed now. If something majorly happens, of course, we all know everything can go on our cell phones. So it was very, very discouraging. Whatever you're going through right now, including that, whatever you're going through in life, I want to tell you and remind you, we're always here to encourage you. We're here to love you, care about you, let you know you're being prayed for. I love doing what I do. Teaching, Bible teaching, having fun, praying with you all. I am a prayer warrior, and I love Jesus with all of my heart. And, you know, personally, without, and this is a true testimony, without Him, I don't have anything. And I know most of y'all are the same way. I say y'all because I'm a native Texan. But whatever you're going through, whatever challenges you may have with your kids, or your wife, or your husband, get through it and work through it together. It's important. I just can't stress that enough. And that's my thoughts for today. And I want to kick it off with a coffee song. John Wyler, I Need a Good Cup of Coffee. And Jesus in the Morning, I'm fixing to get another cup too. That sweet aroma, bold and beautiful. I can hardly wait to taste. Early morning, something wonderful is about to make my day. Give me a good cup of coffee and Jesus in the morning, always and exclusively only on, you got it, the Morning Brew Christian Podcast Show. You know what? I cannot believe I accidentally hit a glitch button there, but here, hang on 1 second. If we get a little noise here, I'm just trying to adjust some things here at Faith Studio One. I've only made it on 1.5 cups of coffee this morning. It's very cold. I got into the studio, and I literally had to make sure the heat was up. It is ice cold. I am probably sitting in about 25-degree weather in here. It's just, it's incredible. And you do have to keep your equipment climatized the best you can, but, you know, nothing can get that frigid cold. All right, now this is a Mark Lowry Christian comedy. I've played it back in the past by special request, Old Age.
It has been 11 years since I made a video. I was 46. I'm 57. In 11 more years, I'll be a lot older. But I can't think of any place I'd rather do it than at the First Baptist Church of Hendersonville, Tennessee. And I'm having the best time on this tour with the Martins, everybody, the Martins. And Stan Whitmire. And I am the Bill Gaither of this program because I'm the oldest thing on the stage. Oh, I'm 57. Yeah, I'm 57. And I'm proud of it. I own it. I wouldn't go back to 56 to save my life. I love being who I am, how old I am. I know I'm more than halfway home. The good thing about old age is it doesn't last long. And you know you're getting old when you get your... Not too long ago, I got my NAACP card. I mean, my AARP card. Shoot. And we edit that. AARP, that was discouraging when that showed up in the mail. You know you're getting old, y'all, when you ask yourself, do I want to cut my toenails or do I want to breathe? Well, you know how it is. You get right about it. See, what happens is, men, as you age, something gets in the way. That's why you have to pull those... Have you seen those men with the britches up to here? My grandfather had to pull his zipper down to see out. It's just so high. But when you get right about here, you know, I was going to cut them the other day, and I got right about here, and I couldn't breathe anymore. And, you know, these are not young nails anymore. They used to be almost translucent. Takes a Black & Decker hedge clipper to cut those things. They're like big scoop corn chip toenails. And your heels, they turn to biscuits. You rip up the carpet when you get up 50 times during the night to go to the bathroom. It's like Velcro. I say get you a pedicure. Listen, men 50 and older, get you a pedicure. It's not, it's masculine. Get it. You know, you've already lost your testosterone. You might as well let them work on your heels. Besides those little Vietnamese women that do it, you know they're talking about your feet, but you can't understand a word they're saying. I say let them do it. I love being this age. I love it because you get to do your bucket list. I have done my bucket list a few years ago. Show that picture of mama. Show that. This is my mama right here coming soon. Look, can you tell that's my mama? Her favorite songs. She loved the singing Rambo. Raised me on the singing Rambos. Reba Rambos here. McGuire's here tonight. The singing Rambos, the Happy Goodman family, and Nat King Cole.
Well, there you go. There was just some audio that I had to share with you guys from Mark Lowry. I still keep in touch with Mark. He's an awesome guy. And, you know, it's nice to have him fill in from time to time for us when we give the characters a break. All right, this is by another one on special request. This particular song is, guys, he is going to be playing in Allen, Texas in March. Get your tickets if you can. Toby Mac, my friend Toby Mac, love broke through, and it will break through for you. Good morning on a Saturday. Love does break through. I've got one more song I want to play before I get started on my Bible study today with you guys. And this one I've played before, and I've had people say, "CA, will you play it again? Because it's just very touching." You know, being Valentine's Day, and you're probably either married or getting married soon, maybe engaged, have a boyfriend, girlfriend, if you're even single. One day you never know. If you want to get married again, you give it all to God. He go with His direction. Let Him lead. Dave Barden sings a song, and you know, it's funny. Blake Shelton sings it too, but I tell you, Dave Barden sings this the best. And I want you to enjoy this. This is like a little Valentine-y thing here. God gave me you.
Thank you.
Isn't that a beautiful song? God Gave Me You, Dave Barnes. Oh, yeah. Where can you hear it? Only and exclusively on the Morning Brew Christian Podcast Show on iHeartRadio. Okay. Today, by special request, I have had people ask me, will you teach back on why did God harden Pharaoh's heart in the book of Exodus? I sure will. If we go back to the book of Psalms chapter 10 and verse 4. The psalmist says, and scripture reminds us, in his pride the wicked man does not seek him. In all of his thoughts there is no room for God. You see, pride was the root of the wicked in Pharaoh's problem in the book of Exodus, as we remember. A sin that hardened his heart over time. But the Bible, friends, tells us that God also hardened Pharaoh's heart. What can we learn about this from the Egyptian ruler downward spiral to destruction? Well, we're going to talk about it. So what role did Pharaoh play in the story of Moses and the Israelites in Egypt? Well, if you go back in the book of Exodus chapter 1 and verse 8, the Pharaoh who opposed Israel was not the ruler Joseph knew. In fact, some believe that the new Pharaoh was Ramses, also spelled Ramses or Ramesses. Ramesses is the name of a city during the Exodus. If you go back to the book of Exodus chapter 1 and verse 11, it reminds you a little bit of that. But the Bible does not really give us this ruler's name. And archaeology gives some clues, but ancient Egyptian history is confusing, and to be honest with you, friends, it's unreliable. You see, the Egyptian records include contradictions and sometimes leave also out historical events, even if they shed a bad light on a particular pharaoh. It appears the pharaoh who ruled in the early chapters of Exodus was dead by the time Moses sought to free Israel. Here's some scripture references for you to check. Book of Exodus chapter 2, verse 23. Also go to Book of Exodus chapter 3 and read verses 7 and 9. The Ramesses, too, may have been in the early oppressor of God's people and his son. Metaphor. Now, would have ruled during the book of during the time of Exodus. However, it is also identified that the Exodus Pharaoh, by many biblical interpreters, is the most popular choice. However, it dates of Egyptians' chronology, which is often inaccurate. I want you to keep that in mind. It also may be the possibility that there simply isn't enough detail to possibly identify the correct Pharaoh. So what can be known in this, CA? Well, the Pharaoh of Exodus was incredibly, friends, resistant to letting the Israelites leave Egypt. In fact, the Pharaohs enslaved the Israelites, the number of which was disputed by Bible scholars for about 430 years. If you go to the book and make note, Exodus chapter 12, read verses 40 and 41. Before the Exodus, ancient pharaohs were considered gods, which contributed to the anger. Now, the pharaoh of Exodus was evil, authoritarian dictator, cruel, vindictive, brutally abusing, and opposing to the Israelites, as we well remember. I want you to scripture reference these two, Book of Exodus chapter 1, verses 9 through 16. Also, the book of Exodus, chapter 2, verses 23. And then go back to Exodus, chapter 3, verse 9, and Exodus, chapter 6, and verse 5. I know it's a lot of scripture, but once you go through all those different ones, you'll be able to kind of figure it out. So, what is the hardened heart, and how can it be hardened? Well, the writer of Hebrews, if you well remember, warned, "Do not harden your hearts." Remember, that was found in the book of Hebrews, chapter 3 and verse 8. For a good reason. A hardened and callous heart dulls a person's ability to understand the truth. In fact, you go to the book of Mark, chapter 8, verses 17 to 18. That's a good scripture reference there. It causes people to resist and disobey God. And that was certainly Pharaoh's issue, as we well remember. Seated in his willful sin and lack of repentance. You see, a deeply hardened heart is like a scared conscience. In fact, another good reference is the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. You see, God gives such people over their sinful desires. And there's some books in Romans, when you go to the book of Romans in the Bible. Romans chapter 1, verses 18 to 24 is a good example, and verse 28. Pride and ignorance certainly can deceive a hardened heart. The Bible also speaks both Pharaoh's hardened heart, his own heart, and God's hardening of Pharaoh's heart. But before we deal with these two seemingly contrary truths, it's helpful to understand that the word harden really means and how a heart hardens in God's hand and in Pharaoh's heart. Pastor Joe Wrigley writes about three words for harden in the Hebrew language. These words indicate a progression. First, Wrigley says harden can be to stiffen, which makes sense. This happens long before Moses met Pharaoh. The second is a stiffened neck and cruel. The ruler already said stiffened neck and cruel, I should say. Second, harden means to strengthen, which is another true point. This word occurs numerous times in the storyline. In fact, sometimes it is biggest into causing the strengthening that, and sometimes God actively does that. The strengthening is a reinforcement in the direction a person needs, is already moving. In fact, third, hardening means to make heavy, to be deadened. So in other words, Pharaoh was already stiff-necked and rebellious, remember? He continued to dig in, doubling down on his ignorance, and God's strengthen and reinforcement in the direction. Finally, all ambiguity disappeared. Pharaoh crossed the line, refused to repent, so well remember, and even when his servants urged him not to ruin Egypt, as you read in the book of Exodus chapter 10, verse 7, Wrigley said that the king's heart was set like stone against God, so God deadened it. So a question that comes to mind is, did Pharaoh's harden his own heart? Well, Pharaoh's pride and ignorance caused rebellion against the word of God spoken through Moses. When Moses tried to give a proper, humble view of God, Pharaoh refused to continue to consider his words. Jamie Wood wrote a book in The Danger in Pride. Pride beckons you to buy into a lie. You are something that you're not. Pride is a rebellion against God before it attributes to self and glory and honor of God alone. But also, she says, humanity forges the way for wisdom. You see, if you go back to this, Pharaoh, friends, was far from being humble. He wanted all the glory, all the honor, and all the authority in his kingdom. So he made the foolish choice to defy the God of Israel. In fact, Pharaoh's selfishness put his own reputation above the Egyptians' welfare. When his leaders and magicians understood the terrible plagues were from the God of the Israelites, the leaders and the people highly regarded Moses, the king ignored their concern. Scripture reference on that, on these particular concerns, is book of Exodus chapter 8, verse 19. Also go to book of Exodus chapter 10, verse 7, and Exodus chapter 11, verse 3. His authority would not be challenged, and his glory would not be shared. So in the first of the five and the seven plagues that God sent to Israel, the hardening seemed to come through Pharaoh's will, or the source of the abolishness. Okay? After the plague of the blood, his heart became hard. Read that scripture verse, book of Exodus chapter 7, verse 22. After frogs covered the land, he hardened his own heart. Book of Exodus chapter 8, verse 15. When Egypt was infested with gannets, his heart was hardened. Book of Exodus chapter 8 and verse 19. When flies came, Pharaoh hardened his heart. Book of Exodus chapter 8 and verse 32. When the Egyptians' livestock died, Pharaoh's heart was also hardened. Book of Exodus chapter 9 and verse 7. When the heavy hail came, when we read about that, Pharaoh's hardened his own heart and it was hardened. Book of Exodus chapter 9, verses 34 and 35. In what Pharaoh's heart grew harder. In fact, there was a book that Tim Mackey wrote, and he had said that God called Pharaoh to humble himself and acknowledge that God is the authority and that he cannot redefine good and evil on the Egyptian terms. But as he wrote in this book, Pharaoh refused. Of course, we already knew that as well in the Bible. So why did God also harden Pharaoh's heart? Well, suddenly the pattern had changed. Now, with the plagues of the boils, remember that? Book of Exodus chapter 9. Go back and reference 8 through 12 on those verses. Locusts, remember that? Book of Exodus chapter 10, verses 13 and 20. Darkness, Book of Exodus chapter 10, verses 21 through 27. And death, remember, of his firstborn. Book of Exodus chapter 11, verses 1 and 10. You see, the scriptures say God hardened Pharaoh's heart. The hardening continued even as he pursued the Israelites leaving Egypt. And you can reference that also in the book of Exodus chapter 14, verses 4 and 8. God hardened Pharaoh's heart because, 1, Pharaoh was ungodly, not innocent. 2, he was already hardening his own heart. And 3, God's sovereignty proposed to demonstrate his power and glory even through Pharaoh's hardening. Good reference check on that is the book of Romans chapter 9, verses 17 and 18. So you see, God predicted Pharaoh's resistance in the book of Exodus chapter 3 and verse 19 when he said in Scripture, I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless a mighty hand compels him. Early on, Pharaoh rejected God, as we remember in the book of Exodus chapter 5 and verse 2. But God extended mercy with warnings throughout the plagues, giving Pharaoh opportunities to humble himself, repent, and even change, friends, his evil ways. But with increasing rebellion, you see, Pharaoh chose to bring more judgment on himself and on Egypt. Some may ask if God hardened Pharaoh's heart, and how can Pharaoh be morally responsible? Also, they wanted to know, can both God's sovereign choice and man's responsibility be true? And why did God harden Pharaoh's heart? Well, Darrell E. Whitmire referenced, and this was a good reference that he had in the book of Romans chapter 9, where he quotes that God is in such total control that he can and does not sovereignty elect to show mercy to some people while hardening hearts to others. And he is just doing so. In fact, in the same article, there was another article that John Piper wrote, as we will well remember. And in that, it was a genuine inclination in God's heart to spare them against what he had been committed treason against his kingdom. But his motivation is complex, and not in every true element, friends, but there are holy and reasons for afflictions and for God's heart to have the nature and the intensity and the, you know, the proportion of what they had to do. Now, God's hardening of Pharaoh was not manipulative. Neither did it, you know, migrate Pharaoh's capacity. But people are fully responsible and accountable for their actions and choice. We should always remember that. So what lessons can we learn about the story of Pharaoh? Well, both good and evil begin in the heart. Go to the book of Luke, chapter 6. Read verses 43 to 45. Pharaoh responses and he teaches us much about a hardened heart. Also, you need to consider the cause. You know, Pharaoh's heart didn't just happen, friends. Jesus told his disciples, hardness of the heart comes from a sinful, unrepented heart. Remember that? Not go to the book of Mark, chapter 8, and I want you to scripture reference on verses 17 to 19. Sin builds up when we cause inability to distinguish between the right and the wrong. In fact, friends, the conscience can be desensitized or even sneered. Book of 1 Timothy chapter 4 verses 1 and 2 is a good example of that. Just as King Nesibir was deposed and because of his ignorance and a hardened heart with pride. Of course, you can also go back to the book of Daniel chapter 5 verses 20 and 21. Those sins were at the root of Pharaoh's hard heart. God detests and opposes pride, and the Christians must guard against it. Reference on that, go to Proverbs chapter 16 verse 5 and 8 verse 18 and James chapter 4 verses 6 and 8. I'm giving you a lot of scriptures, but they're good references. So consider the consequences, okay? A hard heart can be dull that senses some people can or cannot see the truth. One of my favorite evangelists, or one of my favorite Bible preaching teachers, is Dr. Charles Stanley. And I had to make a note of this on my notes, but you know, he's retired now, but Dr. Stanley wrote in The Danger of a Hardening Heart. He wrote a book out. Says that Pharaoh chose to ignore the obvious, even as the magicians came out of their sins and acknowledged God's work. This is the finger of God. And basically, because he ignores it or he rejects God's wisdom, God warns his believers to be wise in their own eyes, but to fear God and turn from evil. So, CA, what you're getting at on your point here? Well, I'm getting at, let's get to this. Consider God's solution. Sadly, Pharaoh continually rejected Jehovah's remedy for a hardened heart. In fact, failing to recognize his prideful spiritual condition. But you know what? God knew this wicked ruler's heart and that he would reject his mercy, unlike David, who prayed for God to search and know his heart. Remember that? Go to the book of Psalms chapter 139, read verses 23 and 24. You see, Pharaoh spurned correction. He refused to repent. Christians know the Lord offers life and what? Hope through confession of sin and obedience to the Word, so they will not develop a hardened heart. Let me give you some scripture references. Make note of all. I know I'm giving you a lot. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Psalms. I love Psalms. Chapter 119, verses 9 through 11. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. Friends, if those developing a hardened heart would only come to God, he would pour out his love and offer mercy and hope. We should always remember that. So that will give you my references and hopefully your helps today on a Saturday. You know, why did God harden Pharaoh's heart in the book of Exodus? God is love. I put on my Facebook page on the Morning Brew Christian podcast yesterday that God is love, and he is. Only if we come to him. I've had people Bible challenge me. I've had people talk to me about it. I can only tell you what I know and what I believe. As I always say, and I always will, if you don't have it right with Jesus Christ, now's the time to get it right with him. It don't matter how many good deeds. Let me give you an example. It don't matter how many radio shows I do. It don't matter how many Christian podcasts I do. By the way, we did hit over 300 episodes. I forgot to celebrate that, but we're at like 303 or 304 now. And even more than that. I've done more than that. I've done hundreds of them, and I haven't even counted them as episodes. We have reached a lot of people. Preachers have reached people in their YouTubes or Facebook Lives, etc., during pandemic times. And I commend everybody out there. USO Radio Network with the military personnel, they've done the same as well. Here's the thing about it. It don't matter how many good deeds that CA does, how many groceries CA delivers to seniors. And I'm using me as an example, because this is all about an example. It don't matter how many times that CA visits different churches and shares his testimony out to the churches about how he got into radio and how he got into doing what he does. It don't matter. What matters is, what God looks at is, did you accept me as your personal Savior? Why I have more trouble trying to get people to understand, friends, is if you don't have Christ in your heart, you don't have anything. There was a particular lady I knew at one of the churches I went to. She never missed a day of Sunday school. And still to this day that I'm aware of, she probably doesn't, but I don't think that this particular church has Sunday school right now. They only pretty much do Sunday morning service, and they do it on YouTube. And, you know, there's some things I wish they would change, but I can't make them. You know, that's their business, how they kind of do things. I'm not going to mention the name. Was there a very long time, but, you know, it's just, you pray for situations like that. This particular lady was talking about how she was at Sunday school every day. That's great. That is wonderful. That ain't going to get you to heaven. And it don't matter how many YouTubes you do, how many Facebook Lives you do, how many morning shows I do. What matters to God is, did you get there? Did you do the work that I wanted you to do? Did you go out and you reach people? That's how come, if I can take just a moment again and yet again, to not only be the mass advocate, but be a church advocate for people, the pastors out there. And I'm not picking on my locals out there or people all across the country. God bless you. God bless the work you're doing. But I think some pastors have hardened hearts right now. And like I said, Billy Graham summed it up, that there's no perfect church out there. However, pastors need to get their toes stepped on. Ouch. Ouch. Yes, they do. And they need not forget about their congregation. It frustrates me, just like it frustrates me about the hemorrhoids sitting in the pew and collecting dust. They're not a decoration. If you want to make them a decoration and your church board wants to make it a decoration, more power to you. But it's more than just show time. It shouldn't be show time. It don't matter how fancy of a background you have and stuff like that. It don't matter how many curtains you have and all that. What matters is are you reaching people, and are you forgetting about your congregation, hello? Or are you going to make an effort like you say you do, some of y'all, that say, hey, we're going to go outside the walls. And you're probably like, oh, I just can't believe you're still bringing this up. Well, it isn't just me. It's people that have come to me, emailed me, told me to mention it. And God instilling it in my heart. When I wake up and I don't see any effort by some of the pastors that I know, I pray for them. Never going to mention them by name, but they know who they are, and they know who I'm talking directly to. But I tell you, and this is the truth, pastors, I can't tell you enough. If you forget about your congregation and you just focus on me, me, and me, you're going to have a problem. You're going to have a church split. Do you really want that in pandemic times? My prayer for you all is, pastor friends out there, is your heart changes and you come out with a better game plan. It don't matter if you've got a member church of 200, or let's just say 10, from 10 to 200, go small, medium, and go to the mega churches. But it's your decision how you do it. And like I said, I can't make that for you. I'm not going to stop rambling about it. I'm just going to tell you like it is, how I feel about it. I just don't see progress from some pastors that I know. And it's frustrating. And I pray for them. And they know who they are, and I'm not going to mention their names. Some just really just surprised me. I didn't know that they wouldn't even going to do this. Oh, see, yeah, you don't understand. Pandemic, come on. Pandemic's been going on for well over a year. In a couple of months probably now. You can post on there, you're praying, you're going to do this and that. That's great. That ain't going to get you to heaven. It's hopefully there's some pastors, majority I hope, that know Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Although I have known pastors that say they know Jesus Christ, then they wind up getting saved later on and they led a church. Yes, indeed, I can tell you, but I won't tell you names. It's happened to at least two or three that I had heard about. Can God change hearts? Yes. Can he change a pastor's heart? Yes. Only if the pastor will let him. But you know what, pastors? And I'm going to tell you one more time on this today, at least today right now, is that you're at a higher accountability. because you're not looked as a god. And I hope and pray to God people don't look at you as a god, because they do, they're making a mistake there. Your job is, as a pastor, in my opinion, is to pick up the phone and call people and check on them. You say you love your congregation, show it, make a move. Hey, get outside the walls and do it. You say you're going to get outside the walls, please do it. Please show it. I don't see any efforts. So I'm praying for a lot of you guys. Some I know out of state, some I know all over. Don't mean you're not doing a good job, but you could surely do a lot better, in my opinion. And I will continue to advocate, and if they don't like it, that's okay. Love me, hate me, it's okay. I'm just speaking out for the people that have asked me to, and I will continue to stay strong on this matter. We got to get a move on. We need some more Billy Grahams out there. Are you going to be hiding behind the pulpit? Are you going to be sitting on a pew like I did for a little while, or are you going to get out of it and do something? Like Matthew West says, do something about it, okay? Do something about it. It's praying to God. All right, now I'm getting off my soapbox. I've rambled for about 10 minutes on it. But anyway, guys, I want you to mask up, social distance, be safe. Thank you for all your love and support. Thank you for standing by me as I continue to be the mass advocate, as I continue to be a church advocate for these pastors that I believe need to get their toes stepped on. Let's pray for pastors out there. They need it. But again, all your good all your good works are not going to get you to heaven. And I'm talking everybody. Face fact. What's going to get you to heaven is knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you have faith as small, and I've said it before, as small as a mustard seed, and you come to God, come to your father, like coming to your dad, with faith, you'll know it when you have him in your heart, and overcome of the Holy Spirit talks to you. I don't hate my pastor friends out there. I don't. I just pray for him. Sometimes I just have to tell it like it is, and God tells me to tell it, and I am. And I got a big listening audience out there, and I appreciate y'all. Y'all have emailed me, and you thanked me, and I can't thank you enough. And I'll continue to love and support and encourage you guys. I'm not telling you not to go to your churches. I'm not telling you not to listen online to them. But I will continue to advocate not just for myself, my family, and friends, but for you all. If your pastors aren't getting off their high horse and doing what they're supposed to do, we'll advocate too just as well. I don't mind doing it at all for you guys. Because we're supposed to be the family of God. In fact, you know what? That gave me an idea, because God told me to play this song just now. And this right here is a Bill Gaither song. Before I close out in prayer, I know if let this linger just a little bit. Let me see here if I can find that. Hang on 1 second here. You're going to have to bear with me. I got to go on my computer here to... Let's see. Okay, here we go. On close out before we pray.
Sister around here, you know why? 'Cause
That's right. And we are. That's right. We are the family of God. And, you know, it's very important. And like I said, I'm not trying to pick on anybody or or anything like that. But let's lead off in prayer. I know I've rambled. This has been a long podcast today. I just want you guys to know you're loved, you're appreciated, and I want you to have a good Saturday, and we're going to continue to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all you do. Father God, I just pray you be with us, and you guide us, and watch over and protect us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, my intro music on opening and closing started a little later. I'm kind of off key today. Well, this is CA on iHeartRadio. Hey, I want you to remember the sun does rise on the other side and enjoy life. LIFE, exclamation point dot. We'll talk again soon, friends. Y'all have a great day. Bye for now.